Would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I would like to read from Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. I would like to read the 26th verse. Before we begin to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon Thy great and holy name. Lord, we thank You for the privilege that we have to come together in Thy house to be able to try to worship Thee in the singing of songs and in prayer and in the study of Thy holy word. And we pray that as we begin to study, that Thy Spirit would be our teacher. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come tonight asking Thee to fill us all with the Spirit of God that we might be able to hear, understand, believe, and obey Thy holy word. We pray, Lord, that You would help us in this hour, that we might not only be mindful of ourselves, but all of the others of Thy people, wherever they might be, that wherever they're gathered together in Thy name, that You would bless and pour out Your Spirit upon every congregation and every pastor. And we pray also that You would bless those that are not able to be in the house of the Lord. We pray that You would be with them and comfort them. Bless those in the nursing homes and the hospitals and those who are confined to their own homes. Lord, we pray that You would bless those that are having personal problems, the unspoken prayer requests. We pray that You would be with them and help them. Pray that You would bless all those that are having treatment for cancer. We pray that You would comfort their hearts and the members of their families. They'd be able to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that You would breathe on them even as You breathe on us. We pray again that You would bless those who have lost loved ones, that You would comfort their hearts. Pray that You would accept our thanksgiving for this past week of worship and recreation at the church camp. We thank You for the lessons that were brought, all the things that were learned during this past week, and we thank You that You've blessed us to see and know the Creator of heaven and earth. And we pray that You would help us to serve Thee and trust in Thee as our Creator and as our Heavenly Father. Pray again now that You would bless us as we try to study Thy holy word, that You would help us as You alone are able to do. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, the King of Kings, our Master, and our Lord. In His name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, the Word of God says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." The main thought that's on my heart tonight is where God says, "My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart." Two of the songs that we sang tonight, first of all, we sang, "Pure in heart, O God, help me to be." The Scripture says that we need to examine our hearts. We need to see what our hearts are like. Sometimes our hearts are not what they ought to be. We need to pray that God will help us to purify and to cleanse our hearts. We just sang the song, "Breathe on Me." Part of that verse, the chorus says, "Take thou my heart, cleanse every part, Holy Spirit, breathe on me." And we need to pray that God would cleanse our hearts. And let me say this, it's not a one-time thing. It's not like you give your heart to the Lord, and then from then on that you have no problem with your heart. I believe it's a daily warfare for us to try to pray that God would cleanse our heart. The Word of God says here, "My son, give me thine heart." Did you know that if your heart is right, if your heart is close to God, and if your heart is not only, sometimes we think our heart's close to God, but if your heart is not right toward your brethren, then your heart is not right toward God. The book of 1 John makes it very clear that if you say that you love God, but you hate your brother, he says you're a liar. The Word of God makes it very plain that our heart needs to be right towards one another as well as our heart being right toward God. There was one occasion that I preached a sermon from a scripture that says, "Is thine heart right?" Two men were talking, and one asked the other one, "Is thine heart right?" And he says, "If it be so," he said, "if it be so, give me thine hand." In other words, if your heart is right, if our heart is right, then we can shake hands. And sometimes I've seen people that would not even shake hands with each other, and that's a clear evidence that their heart is not right toward each other. And again, I want to repeat, their heart is not right toward God. God says here, "My son, give me thine heart." The scripture says in this same chapter, back up to verse 7, look at Proverbs 23 and verse 7, the scripture says, "For as he thinketh," or "as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So if our heart is not right, nothing else is going to be right in our lives. If our heart is not close to God, if we have not given our heart or dedicated our heart to God, then nothing else is going to be right. And there are all kinds of things that will draw our hearts away from God. How many times in your life have you had trouble with keeping your heart loving God? You know, the first and great commandment is, the very first expression in that commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." And I have trouble doing that sometimes. I set my affections on things above, and I love God with all my heart for a little while, and then before I know it, the devil comes along, and my heart begins to wander away from God. And I still love God, but I don't love God with all of my heart because my affections begin to be set on other things, and my thoughts and my mind begin to wander away from God. And in that instance, my heart is not right. My heart is split between loving God and loving the world and the things that are in the world. The scripture says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." And the people of God need to pray, "God, help me to every day to examine my heart." There's another scripture in Proverbs that says that whoredom and wine will take away thine heart. How many hearts have been taken away from God? Now, understand, I'm not talking about being eternally separated from God, but I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis, and our fellowship with God is often affected because our heart is not right toward God. And the scripture says here that whoredom and wine will take away thine heart. Your heart can be taken away. And we know that David's heart was taken away from God, and many others. You understand the way I'm using that, being taken away from God. You don't snatch anything away from God. But our heart's affections are taken away from loving God as they ought to be. And whoredom and wine are two of the things that seem to destroy more of God's people than almost anything else on the face of the earth. And I believe that's the reason that God focused on that and said that whoredom and wine will take away thine heart. So we need to pray, "God, help me to do what you've commanded me to do here." When you say, "My son, give me thine heart," the Word of God says, "To keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it proceedeth the issues of life." If your heart is right, everything else is going to be right. If your heart is right, the words that come out of your mouth are going to be right. If your heart is right, you're going to stay away from places that you ought not to be. If your heart is right with God, your heart is going to be right towards other people. So we need to pray, "God, help me that I might give you my heart every day, and then examine myself all during the day and see, now, where is my heart right now? Is my heart still loving God with all of my heart?" Go with me to the New Testament just a moment. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks and focuses in one of the Beatitudes. He talks about the pureness of heart. That is, that we need to continuously be examining our heart, because our heart can be clean one day. How often do you change clothes normally? probably most of us, every day. And sometimes in the hot weather, we change clothes several times during the day. And brethren, that's because we want to stay clean physically, and we ought to be just as concerned about our heart being clean. You remember how in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 8, the Word of God says there to cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Do we need to clean up our hearts? Do we need to purify our hearts? Can we? Are there things that we can do to purify our hearts? Indeed, there are. And the Word of God talks about those with a pure heart. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, in the Beatitudes, he says in Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, brethren, I know that we'll see God in glory, but I believe also that we have glimpses of God, and we can see through the eye of faith that we can see God and the power of God, and we can see the glory of God when our hearts are pure. There are times that I can see Christ in you. There are other times that I can't see Christ, not only in you, but I can't see Christ in nature. I can't see Christ in any way in my life, because the Word of God says here, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You can't see God when your heart is not pure. Have you ever had trouble praying? Have you ever tried to pray and felt like that the prayers never even got out of the room that you were in? Well, if you'll go back and think about it, and if you'll examine your heart, I believe that almost without exception, you'll find that the reason that you're having trouble seeing God, the reason you're having trouble approaching the throne of grace, is because there's something amiss in your heart. You need to pray, God, help me. What did we sing in one of those songs? Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. And then the last song that we sang, take thou mine heart, cleanse every part. I believe there's a work and a labor that we have to do to cleanse our hearts. But I also believe that we can say to God, that we can pray to God, God, I ask you to cleanse my heart. I ask you to show me the wickedness in my heart. If there be any wicked thought in me, show me what's wrong with my heart. Unless God opens your eyes, you will always feel that your heart is clean before God and men. But if God will open your eyes, most of the time you'll find there's something amiss in your heart. When people willfully stay away from the house of God, when people are taught clearly in the Word of God that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and yet people willfully stay away from God, and they do other things other than being in the house of God, there's something wrong with their hearts. There's something desperately wrong with the hearts of God's people when there's not a strong desire to be in the house of God, and they're not willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary in order to be in the house of God. There's something wrong with their heart. Whenever you're not happy in your home, when you're not happy with your spouse, there's something wrong with your heart. It's a heart issue. It's not just in your head. There's a heart problem. When you and your spouse are not getting along, or you and your children are not getting along, there's a heart problem, and you need to pray, God, cleanse thou my heart. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Show me what's wrong with my heart. Go with me just a moment to Luke chapter 6, or Luke chapter 8. Look at Luke chapter 8 just a moment. In the parable of the seed sower, the Word of God tells us about that 3 out of 4 of the different kinds of ground that the seed fell on, that 3 out of 4 of those seeds, though the seed represents the Word of God, some, I want you to notice, let's begin in verse 10. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 10. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 10, Jesus is explaining the parable that He's just given in verses 5 through 8. And then in verse 10 He says, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. He says, The seed is the Word of God. Do you know what happens every time we come to the house of God? There is seed that is sown. In Bible study, all during this past week, during our week of worship and recreation, there was a tremendous amount of seed that was sown. All during those Bible study classes and in the worship services each night, there was and in the various Bible studies that went on outside of that, there was a lot of seed that was sown. The seed is the Word of God. And when we hear the Word of God, aren't there times that the Word of God finds a lodging place in our heart? And we think about the Word of God, and we meditate on the Word of God, and we talk about the Word of God, and we spread the Word of God that we hear. Now that's when the seed has taken root, and it brings forth fruit to perfection in our lives. But you know what has to be right before you can ever receive the Word, the seed, in your heart, and it stay there? There has to be some preparation of the heart. I'm not talking about God preparing the heart in regeneration, but I'm talking about the preparation that God's children, after they've been born of the Spirit of God, and after they've been given a heart, they have to prepare their hearts to receive the Word of God. In Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 11, and the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Brethren, how can the devil ever take the Word of God right out of your heart? Now, these are children of God. These are people that heard the Word of God. You remember in John chapter 8, Jesus asked the question. He says, "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So God speaks to His people. God spreads the Word, and the Word goes down into their heart. But sometimes the devil comes along and takes the Word right out of their heart. Have there ever been times that you knew on Monday that you knew the Word that you heard on Sunday was gone? You had no idea what was preached on Sunday. Do you know what causes that? Something's wrong with the heart. Something's wrong with the heart. So the devil comes and takes the word out of the heart. Verse 13 says, "They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away." Do they hear the word of God? Do they rejoice in the Word of God? But then what happens? They begin to fall away. Verse 14 says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." In each of these first three instances that Jesus gives here, where the seed was sown, but there was no fruit that was brought forth to perfection, it was all because there was a heart problem. It was because each of those first three categories of children of God, their heart was not right. Then you come to verse 15. I want you to notice the wording in verse 15. "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Now, brethren, the children of God that hear the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, and then that seed, the Word of God, begins to bring forth fruit abundantly in their lives. That's the people that have done what the text says. In Proverbs 23:26, the Word of God says, "My son, give me thine heart." And if you have given your heart to Jesus today, if when you came into the house of God, you came in praying, "God, I ask you to help me to hear the word. I ask you to cleanse thou my heart. If there be any evil thought, if there be any evil way, cleanse thou my heart and bless me to hear the word and to hold on to the word of God. Bless me to receive the word and bless me to bring forth fruit to perfection in my life." If you come with that kind of a desire and fervent prayer to God, you've prepared your heart to receive the Word, and then you'll be able to bring forth fruit to perfection in your life. Are there times that we come and we honor God with our mouth, and we honor Him with our lips, and we may sing songs. Can you sing songs and your heart be somewhere else? Can you sing songs and your mind even be somewhere else while you're singing songs? I believe that you can. Look at Matthew chapter 15 just a moment. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus talks about these individuals that Isaiah prophesied. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, well, let me read 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. These individuals are professing that they know God, but their, what do you think, is far from Him? Their heart is far from Him. In their works, they deny Him. Matthew 15, verse 8, the Word of God says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, what do I need to do every day of my life? I need to say, "God, help me. I cannot see where my heart is. I cannot tell if my heart is close to God or far away from God unless God will open my eyes." And the reason I can't tell that is the devil will deceive me and the devil will deceive you into thinking you're very close to God, when the truth is your heart is going further and further away from God. So Jesus condemns and rebukes these people when He says that they draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but what was wrong? But their heart was far from Him. God's children need to give their heart every day to Jesus. "My son, give me thine heart." Turn to Hebrews just a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The Word of God gives us a warning about what can happen to our heart. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "Take heed." What's the next word there in Hebrews 3:12? What's the next word? "Take heed, brethren." We're talking about children of God, just like we were in Matthew and in Luke. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, the Word of God says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Now, brethren, the only people who can depart from the living God are people who have been with God. And so God is warning every one of us here tonight. He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Every day, I hope that God will help me and you, that we will get up in the morning, and before you even get out of bed, that you'll begin to pray to God, and you'll pray, "God, help me to be pure in heart." We sang that song, and we sing it often, "Purer in heart, O God, help me to be." May God help us to examine our hearts to see if there's any wicked feeling towards any person. Because if that's there, then our heart has erred from God. And we need to pray, "God, keep my heart today. Keep it close to You. Purify my heart and help me to purify my heart." May God help us to give our hearts to the Lord every day, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.